Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artist First. We have a great show for you tonight. We have a special guest. His name is author Philip Galanis, who writes the social cues for the New York Sunday Times style section. And author Jenna McCarthy, if it was easy, they'd call it the whole damn thing a honeymoon. So grab your martini, put on some great high heels, sit in your comfortable chair, and just hang out and chat with us for a bit. Hi, Nancy.
Well, hi, Lisa. What an exciting day. We both have been busy, and you were busy last night. Tell us about your son's concert.
My son goes to the Peabody Conservatory, Johns Hopkins. And we went to his winter concert. And, you know, it's a two-hour drive each way. I thought we were going to die last night driving. We had a nor'easter here on the northeast for you guys that don't live around here, which means blowing winds, raining sideways, just bad driving. We're driving home, my husband and I. I thought we were going to die. So I texted my sister all our life insurance policies. I did, because I'm thinking, oh, my God, if we die, like, we have them all in a folder at home, but I never think about it, so I don't tell anybody. So I said, oh, my God, if we die tonight, my three kids have to be taken care of.
Yeah. Hey, you know something else I do, Lisa? When I leave the house like that, if I'm in a hurry and, you know, I might not have everything straightened up, I leave a note on the table, and I write, if you find this note, you'll know that I have too much fun in my life playing with my children or whatever else I'm doing rather than clean my house. You know, like if I'm in a hurry and I leave stuff out, can you imagine? Oh, what a nightmare would it be if you were out, left your house in a hurry, and you broke both your arms. Then what do you...
Well,
that'd be terrible.
My husband and I, like, oh, my God, if we both die, somebody's going to have to go clean out our basement.
Okay, and while we're on the subject, I have it in writing. I used to drive, first of all, a lot. So I have it in writing. If I'm in a horrendous car accident and I need surgery, do not let me wake up without having the face done, the neck, the lipo. I want it all done by the time I wake up. Can you imagine? That'd be a disappointment if I woke up and that stuff wasn't all taken care of. If I have to have a surgery anyway, I might as well do something good.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's get to our first guest. I'm excited. It's going to be cool.
Oh, I am very excited. Well, Philip Galanis, he writes for the New York Times advice column in the style section, and I love saying this, he's the author of Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live, Philip.
I am so happy to be here with you two gals. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, we're just thrilled.
I think next to you two, I have the best job in America. Because you cannot imagine, like, Dear Abby was always my favorite thing to read when I was a kid, growing up, and I get to be Dear Abby today for the New York Times style section, and I'll tell you, we get questions that I am sure would have curled dear old Abby's hair right off her head.
Especially, you know, even in your book, your very first question about my boyfriend assumed I was Jewish.
Oh, yeah. The very first question, when they called me up and said, would you be interested in writing this modern-day Dear Abby column? I thought, well, I don't know. Would that be fun? I think it would be fun. But what are people going to really write in? The first question that comes in is from this girl. She is Christian. She joins a dating service that you guys may have heard of called J-Date. It's
right.
For Jewish people.
Right.
So why she's joined the service to begin with, it's one of those mysteries of dating. She's decided she's going to join J-Date. And she joins, and she says, the guy, he misunderstood. He thought I was Jewish, but everyone on the site is Jewish. So the guy didn't misunderstand anything. She just joined the wrong club.
And, or as you say, lied.
She lied. And then, but then they get along. They're going along like so well for 3 months. And for 3 months, she doesn't say anything. And then she wants to know, well, what should I do? Well, you can't pretend you're Jewish for the rest of your life. Like, what if you get married? It's going to be a disaster. And it is, when that was the first question I got, I thought, okay, buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be really fun. And since then, I bet I have gotten, 10,000 questions and 10,000 letters, and from that, I sort of picked out the 20 topics that people seem to care about most, and I made those the chapters of this new book, Social Cues. And the thing I love about the book is I'm not pretending to be an expert about anything. I am just here to report what drives everyone out in the world crazy and what they like. And so I feel like this book is so fun and so useful and so, it was so much fun to write. I hope that you two had some fun reading it.
Oh, we did. Let me tell you what, we could not put it down. Starting chapter one, when you talk about when good hygiene goes bad, dog breath, BO, and snot. Oh, my. Okay. Now, I love your answers.
I've got to tell you.
Right out with it.
When I got the email to come on this show, I thought, okay, well, I went on to the website and I listened to a couple of the shows. And I thought, okay, these gals are totally for me. They are totally going to get what I do in this column. And if anyone is going to like my book, it's going to be the people who like these two. So it was such a happy experience to look forward to the show.
Oh, my gosh. Nice. Well, you know what we're thinking? Not only is this a fun chat, and our listeners have been so excited, with messages about your appearance. You know what, Philip? Brainstorm. It would be fun to have you come on from time to time just to share something fun with us.
Oh, I would love that. I would so love that. We can work that out very easily.
We would love that. Now, you do give, in the first chapter, you talk about, is it going to affect anyone's health? Is their health at risk? These are things you should ask yourself, right? Or who's in charge? Tell us about all that.
Well, when I get a tremendous number of questions from people who want to tell other people that their breath is bad, they should wash their hands after they come out of the bathroom, that they should do more hygiene cooking, that their clothes are ugly. We want to tell people we care about all kinds of things. And the question is, should we speak up or should we shut up? And so in the first couple of chapters, I try to come up with little tests to help people figure out whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Like one of my favorite ones was the girl. She's got a brand new boyfriend, and she just thinks he's adorable. He looks like Jared Leto, she says. And she loves everything about him, except when he's using her laptop, he keeps licking his fingers and then typing on her computer. So it's sort of like he's marinating her keyboard in spit. And so the question is, so the questions come down to, well, is it gross? Of course it's gross. But are they close enough for him to say something? Well, if someone's your boyfriend and you can say something in a way that's not that, you know, not in a mean way, but in a way that makes it feel kind of soft, like, you know, honey, would you mind, would you notice the next time you're typing on my computer, would you, don't do that with the licking of your fingers, right? Mm. I find this, if you do something in a soft way, you can almost tell anyone anything, except your mother. You can never tell your mother anything, especially around Thanksgiving time, because the poor thing, like my mother, we just had Thanksgiving, she had to cook a meal for a small army. So the tiniest thing was all it took to make her explode. So you've got to choose your moment. So this girl's got to choose the moment to tell Jared Leto, hey, no more licking your fingers before you type on my computer.
Oh,
there's always a way to solve these problems, right?
Well, let me ask you a question. Last night I was in my son's concert at the Peabody Conservatory, and the kid that sat next to me in the concert hall smelled like beef stew, slash pepper, slash dirty sock. He smelled so bad I was going to throw up. I could not even enjoy the concert. The kid stunk. What do you do in that situation? You can't say anything. What are you going to do?
I mean, well, that's exactly right in that situation, because he's a total stranger to you. What are you going to do? Did you were the seats assigned? Was there any hope of moving?
No. We had to buy a seat, and we, you know, the seats are assigned. You know,
oh,
the theater.
God. Your best hope in that situation? Altoids. Take some Altoids out and put them in your mouth and hope that is going to be, hope that what you smell is the mint, your minty fresh breath, instead of that poor guy.
You know what I had to do one time? I had to take my hand lotion and stick it all around my nose.
Smart. That's a smart one, too.
But you know what wasn't smart, Philip?
What?
My daughter and I in the car with the guy's football gear in the back.
Oh, yeah, that's never good.
Right. So my daughter and I took lotion and powder and put it all over our nose really thick. Well, I got pulled over by the police for his taillight out, and he saw the stuff on my nose.
You too. That is so funny. Well, so first of all, tell me, how did your son do at the concert? Was it like a great concert?
Yes. He plays the viola. He's a sophomore there.
That's so terrific, and it's such a good school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be.
Cool,
you don't want the police to think you're a coke. You don't want the police to think you're a coke addict, and you don't want to smell like beef stew. Those would be two rules we could like very firmly take with us through life. One of the things that they thought that they thought this column was going to be all about Internet dating, Facebook, Twittering, and we get a ton of stuff on that. But one of the things that's so interesting, and this is like for your son's generation more than for ours, we remember when we used to, you know, come home at night, and what you'd do is like dial up the phone and you just talk to people all night long about what happened all day. And we used to really learn how to communicate with people, because we'd go like, oh, there was a really weird, that didn't sound right the way she said that. I bet she disagreed with me. And so we would know to sort of circle back around. But your sons and daughters, they just type and send. And so they don't know how to do all little basic things like we know how to, like we knew how to do. Like the number of questions I get from kids who are sophomores in college, and they'll say, you know, I've got a crush on this girl, and I texted her, and she didn't respond.
What do you say to that?
But you say to that, well, like, is that really how you're going to have a relationship with a girl, by texting her? I think one of the things that can be so great about this column is teaching some old school tricks to new school kids. Like, that boy should, you know, go sit next to her. Say hi. It doesn't have to all be on a smartphone. It's like, put that smartphone away, boy. Go up to the girl. I mean, it's not a guarantee she's going to like you, because, you know, lots of times people just aren't the right people for us, and we're interested in people. We can get interested in people for all the wrong reasons. But in this book, I try to take kids and people who are in the internet, sort of really thick into the internet, back into the third, you know, three dimensions of our world. How to talk to people. How to say, you know, would you like to get a coffee with me? Basic little things that we totally would have known how to do.
You should do a whole column on chivalry. I'm still old-fashioned. I like when a guy opens the door. I like when a guy helps you on with his coat. When a guy stands up when you get up at the table. I like that. That might be old-fashioned. I don't know, but I just think that's the way guys
treat a woman. I think that you can do lots of things for guys that make them feel special, too. And that's the whole thing about dating and relationships. People who can make you feel good and can make you feel special, that's not old-fashioned. That's just human, right?
It's easy. It's easy to do, starting with the people you care about most. Start complimenting them, and not just how they look, but compliment them in public about you like their idea.
Yeah, that's a terrific thing. People are always asking about relationships that are negative. And it is so much better, I think, to, you know, when people are negative with you and always filled with criticism, so much better to find people who can say something nice about you and who you can say something nice about in return. And we're always going to have criticisms of people. How could we not? Because, you know, but as long as the positive thing leads the way and our kindness for other people can lead the way, it's very hard to go wrong that way. And if that means opening a door so that you can go first, what a great way to start, right?
Well, I have your book open right now to page 76, and you're talking about a theme song that you love. Who can turn the world on with her smile?
Yeah, remember that?
I loved that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore was everything, because she was like one positive gal. And what I loved about that workplace was that workplace felt as close as my family felt. That Murray and Ted and Lou, and they were coworkers, but they cared about each other as people, and they took care of each other. And I love to think of myself in the workplace looking out for the people that I really care about too. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You two are totally looking out for each other all the time.
We do. We don't keep score. We do. And I also like what you say in your chapter about neighbors. Whenever possible, let it slide.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be living next to each other whether they bring in the garbage pail on, like, the second the garbage truck goes by or not. So why make your blood pressure go up 20 points? It's not going to make them bring the garbage pail in any faster. And at the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, the fact that the neighbor didn't bring the garbage pail in fast enough is not what you're going to be thinking about. What you might be thinking about is that you made a great friend, and that great friend lived next door to you.
Yeah, people just have to lighten up and take things and just let things roll off their back a little more, don't you think? What about, like, road rage and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's a tense world. I mean, we are all expected to do a lot of stuff, and so we need to find ways to blow off steam. But so I'm much more interested in putting a CD or putting my iPod on and finding some music that I can really sing loud to and dance around in my bathroom than I am in getting into a fight with some guy who allegedly took my parking space, because I don't see what that's getting anyone.
Mm. Let me ask you, now this is on the Facebook Queen. Give us some etiquette for Facebook.
Well,
what kind of questions?
You know, I think the thing about Facebook is, and I really think the thing about so much online stuff, emails, Twitter, Facebook, the thing that's so important to remember is that the person who's going to open up the message you send on Facebook is another person with real feelings and everything. And we've got to keep that in our head. It's so easy to type and just send, type and send. You're in a bad mood, so you type and send. Your boss annoys you, so you write something on your Facebook status that's a little mean. You just type it and send. And what I think we've all got to remember is every single one of those Facebook friends and every single one of those people are real people, and they've all got feelings. And so to the biggest extent you possibly can, try to take the high road. It never hurts to take the high road. Nothing will ever go wrong with you if you take the high road. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody treats you badly or if you've got a problem, you don't confront it, because life is all about compromising with people and trying to communicate what you need and what they need and making it all happen. So much of the bullying and the stuff that I see online, when people will write me questions about things that happen to them on Facebook, it feels like some people have forgotten that the other people are actually human beings, and their feelings can really get hurt, and they're so. This is all supposed to be for fun. It's all supposed to bring us together. It's not supposed to be about mean girls and bullies, you know?
Exactly. And we also enjoyed last week's column about the husband that wants to have the holiday party.
Oh, yeah, I love that one, right?
Yeah.
The husband wants to have a holiday party. The wife, which you couldn't maybe tell from the question as it appeared in the paper, but when the email came in to me, it was really clear the wife didn't want to have a party. So the husband says, don't worry, I will do all the work.
Uh-oh.
And so he goes out and he buys these little invitations, and, you know, you write down the people's names and their, you know, where, what the address is and what time. And he does the whole thing himself. And the wife doesn't like his handwriting and doesn't like the fact that he's misspelled some people's names and doesn't like, it's not as neat and pretty as she would do it. And this really, really bothers her. Now, my takeaway was, wow, the number of times that I have said, don't worry, I'll do all the work, and that I actually do all the work, is not very often. But so this lady is married to a guy who says, don't worry, I'll do all the work, and he does all the work. He deserves a standing ovation, not to be criticized because his penmanship isn't good enough. And so I think it's really important, and I personally think the neighbors next door, the ones down the street, they're going to be really happy that they were invited to a party. They're not going to be, could you believe his penmanship was so ugly? Who would ever think that? They'd think, oh, great, the Wilsons are having a party next weekend. Terrific. Sign me up. And so I think sometimes we forget because we can get into a really, we can be really critical with ourselves and we can be really critical with our spouses. And it's what you said. It's like, let that stuff that's not important just roll right off your back. There's going to be a really nice Christmas party. And your husband said he was going to do it, and he did it. You guys have a different view on that one?
Yeah, exactly. We're with you 100%.
This time has gone by too fast. You're a fabulous guest. I got to tell you, you're one of my favorite guests that we've ever had.
Well, I love you, too. I love your show. And you guys have to get the word out there to, for people to buy this book. It is the best Christmas gift. It is fun.
And we want to come and meet you when we're in New York City, can we?
Of course. Just email, and I'll meet you on any street corner you like.
We'll go have tea somewhere.
Perfect. Love it.
We had tea at the Carlisle the last time, but I was disappointed. I didn't think that was that great.
Well, I once met somebody at the Carlisle, and it was really, really expensive, wasn't it?
It was. You know what? I wasn't all that impressed with it.
Yeah. It was kind of a little shabby, too, right?
What was that?
It was a little shabby, right? Run down a little bit.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. I've been to nicer places that were less expensive.
Yeah. There are lots of nice
where we're going to go, but we're definitely going to meet you. Well, probably in January, for sure, we'll be in New York.
Yes.
Perfect. Give me a call, and then all this book, I'll be done trying to get people to buy this book, and we can go, and we don't have to have a tea. We can have, like, a drink.
Yeah, we'll have a martini.
The Peninsula. We'll go have a drink. We like that lounge.
Ooh, that's nice. You, too, like fancy places.
We do.
Of course.
Now, Philip, we do want to share with you that long after this evening is done, we keep you posted on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website, and we continue to tweet and talk about the love for this fabulous book.
Well, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you two. Thank you. And I hope you have a really, really happy, healthy holiday, and your families do, too.
We'll get in touch with you, though. Definitely.
Terrific.
Be you.
Excellent.
Well,
okay.
Thank you, Philip.
Night, ladies.
Bye.
I love him.
Oh, we could have talked for an hour. How exciting. And we are going to chat with him about visiting us from time to time to come back and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're thanking our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup and Intimacy Bras. Remember, if you're interested in being a sponsor for Chit Chat Cafe Live, you can email us or contact us, and that would be great fun. When we come back, we're joined by Jenna McCarthy talking about her book, If It Was Easy, They'd Call the Whole Damn Thing a Honeymoon. Stay tuned.
now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We have a very cool guest coming on. You're going to love her. Her name's Jenna McCarthy. She's the author of, now listen to this title. It is, I can't.
Two words and you already screwed it up.
Yeah, two words and I screwed it.
Go again.
If it was this easy, they'd call the whole damn thing a honeymoon. Welcome, Jenna. Where did you get that name?
Oh, you know what? I actually took a poll, like how many words people thought I could fit on the cover, and then I doubled it, and then I just started throwing words at it.
Okay.
Actually, my original title for this book was I actually loved it. My original working title was "Till Death Do Us Part" is a really long time.
Okay.
And some people who aren't as sick and sadistic as I am thought maybe death wasn't like a really warm and fuzzy book to have a word to have on the cover of your book about love and eternal happiness. And I was like, whatever, I think it's funny. But so at one point my agent asked me to just throw out a bunch of other options, and this was one of the ones I threw out, and everybody loved it. And I was like, all right, I like the dying thing, but whatever, you guys can have that.
I like your cover.
Yeah, it's cute, huh?
Love the cover.
A pretty little dress and pretty shoes with her head in the oven.
Yeah, it's a little Sylvia Plath, but women like it because they get why she would be doing that, and guys like it just because there's hot legs on it. So everybody's happy.
Oh, you know, speaking of the whole title, let's not forget Living With and Loving the TV Addicted, Sex Obsessed, Not So Handy Man You Married.
You married.
Right.
That's not the one I married.
No, it's not the one I married either.
Oh, okay, good. Mine's only things. How about you guys?
No, wait a minute. Wait, because mine is handy.
So is mine. And so mine's not really TV obsessed.
Yeah.
So that just leaves you with one thing. You do the math, girls.
Oh,
no, my husband is very handy. The whole title subtitle idea was really just to, you know, to hook women in, to make them understand from the get-go. I mean, to me, there's some very, you look at it, and I joke, you know, yeah, there's 117 words in the title, whatever. But there's some very critical subliminal messages in there. First of all, living with and loving. This is not bashing the son of a bitch that you married. This is living with and loving. Living with and loving, embracing all the imperfections, acknowledging your own, kind of, you know, coming to ground zero, understanding what you bring to the table. Stop nitpicking him about all of his, but we'll get into all that. But that's kind of a really important message, you know, that I like to make clear right off the bat. This is not a man-bashing book at all. I mean, I don't know if you've read any of it or a little bit of it or all of it. Oh, you read it. You read it on the, Nancy, you read it, right?
Yes, on the flight.
On the flight, right. So you know, you get it. I mean, if this tells you anything about how not a man-bashing book this is, I get emails from men every single day. Like, guys emailing me through my website saying, I'm buying this book for my 10 best friends for Christmas, and will you sign little book plates? And I'm always like, dude, you're going to get your ass kicked for giving your buddies a marriage book. But sure, I'll totally sign your book plates.
And I do have to say, went to lunch with a bunch of girlfriends who we shared the book, and all we did the whole lunch was laugh and read out loud all of your little adorable, fabulously funny quotes about at least you're not married to him.
And doesn't it make you feel better? I mean,
yes.
I mean, those little sections are really like girls' night out in little 5-minute blasts. Like when you go out with your girlfriends and you go, oh my God, listen to this horrible thing my husband did. And then they fire back with theirs and you go, okay, yeah, yours is worse. I'm good. Like mine might be annoying, but that's disgusting. Or mine might be annoying, but that's like illegal, you know, whatever it is. And so I love those little parts of the book. I love that they just make you go, okay, whatever it is, whatever his thing is, because he's going to have one. They all have one. You have one. I have 1,016. Whatever it is, there is something worse out there. And we don't know that because we don't live with it. And we don't talk to the women who live with it every single day. But, I'll tell you, just this week, I've been a guest expert on a website called Cafe Mom. And women have been able to log on and ask questions, and it was very specific to my book. It was, you know, the little quirk that you thought was cute at one point, you know, like how's that going for you now, is basically what the idea was. And they were asking me, these women would ask me specifically, like, my husband does X, Y, and Z, what should I do? And there are some really atrocious men out there. That's all I'm going to say. You can go on there, or you can go onto my website and find out where, like, I've linked to this thing. There are some atrocious, disgusting, despicable men out there.
Tell us about your favorite, at least you are not married to him kind of guy.
Oh, I mean, there are some benign ones that, you know, I mean, there's a guy that has to blow dry his ass every time he gets out of the shower. He just can't get, get dressed until that tushy is really warm and dry, whatever. Like, that would be kind of cute and quirky, probably. There's one gal was like, every time my husband walks by me, he licks my arm. I was like, dude, that's like a medical problem. Like, that's like an iron deficiency or something. That is not a normal little quirk. But what I thought was funny about all of those, at least you're not married to him things, is 80% of them were actually really, really quite benign. And the funniest part about them was the way the women described them, because you can tell when you read the emails or you read these little sections that it's written by the woman who's living with it. I mean, these women would write, every night he has to eat ice cream with the tiniest spoon in the house. And you can hear her, like, being so pissed off. And, you know, you're reading it and you're like, take one to nail. The guy's eating ice cream. Lighten up. He doesn't beat you. He's not, you know, cheating on you, whatever it is. And she's like, I have to hear that spoon hit the side of the godforsaken bowl. And you go, okay, that, like, that's what she's living with. I mean, and that, if you, you know, when you read through there, it's like, there are 8 billion, you know, if you extrapolate, and I did the numbers, there are 8 billion men in the United States who do not know how to close a drawer or a cabinet. Apparently, this is a skill. This is a lost art. Men were not taught this by their fathers. Nobody knows how to do it. So every time women walk into a room, it's like the sixth sense, with all the cabinets a little bit open and all the drawers a little bit open. And the women are, they get so ballistic. They're crazy about that inch. That inch, they're like, "Why? He's doing it on purpose." Like, this is what they say. They're like, he's literally trying to make me crazy. He's trying to annoy me to death slowly with these little, and no, he's really not. He's just a guy. He doesn't care. Right?
Yeah. How about a lot of women that are nags out there, huh?
Well, I mean, we all are, and this is something that I've learned, you know, in painstaking, glorious relief in my own marriage. Like, some of us are, but I would say, if I'm going to sweepingly generalize, which I do all the time freely, and I admit to it, I wouldn't say women are nags so much as, like, women were raised to communicate, right? Like, let's talk about our feelings. Let's talk about every little fucking thing that bothers us. My husband will say to me, oh my God, like, you've told me 20 things today alone that I do that bug you. If I told you everything that bugged me, like, we'd never get anything done, because all we would do is sit there and tell each other how annoying we are. Why don't you just let me bug you a little bit and shut up about it? And I was like, oh, there's an interesting take on it. I never thought about that. I mean, that's not what we do. So we see crumbs in the sink and we're like, oh, honey, you did a really good job cleaning up the whole kitchen. And so next time maybe you could also rinse out the sink. And he's looking at you like, you bitch, I just cleaned the whole kitchen, and really you're going to point out that one thing? And then we wind up having this huge fight about it, where really we're just doing what we were taught to do, which is, well, before the crumbs in the sink become this huge festering sore on your relationship, you should bring them up in a neutral tone so that he knows they bug you. And he's just over there going, really? Like, out of everything I do, you have to point out the one thing that I didn't do to your impossible standards. So I don't think we're in it. I mean, do you agree with me, or do you think I'm crazy? Somebody give me a bone here. Like,
no, I don't think you're crazy at all.
Right? Like, I kind of think that's what we do, and we think we're so innocent and sweet, and we're so well-intended, because we are. We're like, wow, honey, great job. And also, this isn't good enough. I mean, and we kind of do. Women do that. We do that a lot. I don't know about you guys. I do it a lot. I see my friends doing a lot. I see my kids. My daughters are 6 and 8. I see them doing that to my husband. And, of course, they learned it from me. I mean, you know, whatever. But, I mean, my husband is a fantastic guy. If I give him a job, he will do it. But the problem is he doesn't live inside my head. So he can't do it the way I want him to do it on the first try every time, right? So this is like a recurring theme in our lives. And in all these letters, this is something that it keeps coming up. The women are like, well, why can't he just? Why can't he just? And when I respond to them in a, you know, when it's in a sort of advice-giving situation all the time, I'm like, because he's not you. Go marry yourself. I mean, he's not you. Stop expecting him to be you. Stop expecting him to know inherently. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a shrink. I'm not a relationship expert. I'm just an observationalist, and I look at all this stuff, and I find the funny in how crazy we all are. That's what I try to do.
Well, we love it. And your blog is a riot.
I just really like to point out, you know, and sometimes mock or make fun of all of us. I mean, literally, I will blog tomorrow about the fact that I had this interview tonight, and I bribed my kids. I took them to a crafting party where I let them have 7-Up and brownies before dinner, which I don't ever let them have either, ever, because I'm a Nazi. And then I took them from the 7-Up and brownie party to their favorite pizza place where I let them have double breadsticks and more soda. And in the car on the way home, I said, Mommy has an interview. You're going to be watching TV, and if I hear one word, I do not care if the house is on fire. If I hear one word, I will put a metal flaming rod up the chimney, and Santa will not be able to get down it. I really did. I swear to God, I will call my children in here and put them on the phone, and you can ask them, so what did your mom say was going to happen if you interrupted her tonight? I'm the devil. But we all are. We all do shit like that. Moms and wives and everything. And so I'm the one that's kind of like, fine, I'll do it. But then I will so narc on myself, and I'll make everybody feel better that they're not as psychotic as they thought they were when they said, you know, whatever they said that was almost as bad as that. Probably not.
Exactly. Now, I tell you, we all know our own men better than anyone else does, of course. And I personally have learned over the years that humor gets me much further than anything else I say. So take, for example, one Saturday morning, I must have needed a compliment. So I decided to use my humor and simply say, well, I'm going to probably need to stop and get gas today and do a few other things before I go to the grocery store. How do I look? And when the answer was fine, why? And I said, well, you know, I want to look nice just in case the man pumping the gas, I want to look really nice. So what do you think he's going to say? Oh, it's just so funny, just using the humor, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my husband, when he's getting dressed in the morning, he'll go, God, I'm good looking, to himself in the mirror. And I'm like, so you need me to tell you that today, honey? You clean up so nice. And, you know, again, he's doing exactly what you're saying. Because my husband, he really is. He's awesome. He tells me every day, I'm beautiful, I'm hot, I'm sexy, I'm smart, I'm funny. Like, my God, if compliments were money, I'd be Oprah. You know, he can't get enough of me. It's great. And sometimes I forget that men need that too. And I'm not as profuse about it because I'm like, of course he knows he's hot. He's hot. He's handsome. He's fabulous. He's funny. And when he says that in the mirror, I'm like, oh, yeah, what you said. Yeah, you're totally cute. Love ya.
And what's the money, honey? Tell us about the money, honey.
The money, honey. Well, you know, I mean, they say that sex and money are maybe not the two things we fight about the most, but kind of the deal breakers. I don't know if I guess I do agree with that inherently, but, you know, if you have like a wanton, crazy, you know, somebody that believes in buying things that you can't afford on credit, you know, with consequences be damned, yeah, I couldn't live with that person, nor could my husband. My husband is definitely a saver, and I'm kind of a spender. Like, I'm like, what, you could die tomorrow. I mean, I don't buy things that I can't, I don't buy on credit, I don't buy things I can't afford, but if, you know, I'm kind of like, if you're going to have, if I really want the $200 pair of jeans, I'm going to buy the $200 pair of jeans. I'm not going to buy four $50 pairs until I try to find one that can almost imitate the one I want. He thinks I am crazy. Like, he's like, how much did you, They're jeans, Jenna. They're jeans. I'm like, but look at my ass in these jeans, honey. These are good jeans. He's like, I can't even talk to you. La la la, can't even talk to you. You know, for us, it's something that we have to be really respectful. We talk about everything. Yeah, I squirrel away a little bit of cash here and there so I can buy stuff without him like breathing down my throat about it, but not much. I don't buy big stuff. Like, I'm driving a 9-year-old car, which I know, poor me, whatever. I mean, it's fine. It's just, I'm the kind of person, I was raised, you know, you kind of do what you do what you know, right? So I was raised, my dad used to say, you buy a 2-year-old car and you keep it for 2 years. That's what you did. That's just what we did. So you buy a 2-year-old car so you never pay the depreciation. It's still under warranty. It's not going to have any major problems, likely, in the 2 to 4 year mark, and then you get rid of it before anything big goes up. I mean, this was my dad's like lifetime of research and knowledge on cars, and so that I literally changed cars every 2 years my whole life, and it was great, and I hardly paid for it, and you know, then I meet my husband, and he's driving a car that he bought brand new when he was like 18 years old, and it was about to die, and he went down to the lot. And he bought a brand spanking new car, and I'm standing there with my mouth agape. I'm like, oh, you're paying $5,000 to drive it off the lot. I mean, I'm making this shit up. I don't know, but that's what my dad always said. It costs you $5,000 for the privilege of being the first person to drive the car off the lot. You know, we are what we were taught. So I, for whatever reason, right or wrong, that's what I believed. And his dad was yelling in his ear, why would you buy someone else's problem? You buy a new car, you take care of it. Nobody on the planet will take care of a car as well as my husband, ever. So you buy that car brand new. It's this known commodity. I mean, both, you know, approaches make sense, but that's marriage. That's being with someone and going, well, I wholeheartedly believe this because that's how I was raised. And he's saying, well, I wholeheartedly believe this. And at the end of the day, I go, you know what? Since you're the one that I'm going to call when the car breaks down on the side of the road, I can't get the new car. I mean, I can't get my new 2-year-old car that I want to get because the first time that thing broke down, I would be like, oh, my God, who am I going to call? Whose husband can I call? Because I can't call mine. He's not going to help me, you know? And I have this perfectly good, once new to us, 9-year-old car that's never given us a day's problem. And if I even bring up, like, you want to just go see what kind of, you know, that they have cars that have, like, backup screens and, like, heated seats. They have all these amenities we don't even know about, honey. He's like, why? We've never had a problem with that car. It's got 20 more years in it. Oh, my God. I'm going to be buried in that car. But it is what it is.
Hey, nah, well, at least you're not going to be buried with the man that uses that tiny little ice cream spoon.
Right, I know. See, my husband's a big spoon guy, so there are good things about him. No, he's great.
Exactly. Well, your book is just delightful. We could go on and on talking and tweeting and Facebooking. You're just so much fun.
I'm a lucky lady. I love what I do. I love that I get paid to be able to be just opinionated and snarky and have fun with people like you. How good is my life?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you've written 5 books, and so perhaps we should chat about a different one another time.
I would love it. And I'm going to really get started this week on the next one because people are starting to ask me about it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm on that right now. Right now.
Oh, well, we're going to continue to chat about you and tweet and read your blog. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us.
You are fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. Would you do me a favor and make sure people know that I'm Jenna with an A, McCarthy.com, not Jen E?
Exactly.
Not the bane of my existence, McCarthy.com?
I think we have a Jenna on our website. Yes, I see it. Jenna
okay.
McCarthy.
Okay, you're awesome.
Bye. So. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
That was delightful. What a fun show tonight, Lisa.
Yeah, we had a really good show tonight.
Oh, we're just so excited to thank our sponsors, St. Croix Orthopedics and Laura Geller Makeup and Intimacy Bras. We're thanking Corey King. You can enjoy the Corey King Show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Artists First.
I'd like to thank our guests, Philip Galanis and Jenna, not Jenny, Jenna McCarthy. And remind everyone to listen to our archives. Just go to our artistfirst.com, Chit Chat Cafe Live, scroll down to our older shows. Just click on the date and enjoy listening to some of our past shows. And today is John Lennon's, what's it, 30 years that he's been killed?
Yes.
Is it 30 or is it 29? Was it 80 or 81? Or 82?
I don't know, but it's the day.
It's been a lot, yeah. So I'm going to leave you with a quote from him. It says, time you enjoyed wasting was not wasted. So good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.